Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 34, as we carry on in our study of Hebrews, and these mentioned as walking and living by faith. And we will be here, and then we'll go back to the book of Judges, as we did last week, and look at a little bit more of the life of the one who is mentioned particularly that we're going to look at this morning in Hebrews 11, 32 to 34. It says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Last few weeks, months, really, we've been looking at people by faith who, in this chapter, who are recorded as doing different things by faith. We've seen many accomplishments that they made by faith, and we've looked at what they did, and I'm sure that we've been excited. I know I have to see what was took place and how God used the faith of people to do some great things in days gone by. There isn't one of us, I don't think, who doesn't admire the accomplishments of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. I think we all admire those things and stand in awe of those things. And I'm sure that many of us plan to trust God and trust that God will do great things through our lives. But like those diet plans, those exercise plans, and those changing of habits and so on, we say, well, tomorrow I'll trust God. I'll begin trusting God like they did tomorrow. And rather than make it today and get started today, it's tomorrow. And often tomorrow never comes. You see, often we think about faith as being something for the big things. We say, well, if something big, I need something big in my life tomorrow, I'll trust God for it then. But the reality of it is that we need faith. We need to live by faith every day. We think we can handle life most of the time by ourselves and we don't need God. Now, we wouldn't say it that way, but that's the way we live our life. We think, I can handle it, but if something big comes along, I got to trust God. But the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And so often we think about putting off that trust, that faith and trust in God as something that we'll do tomorrow. Many young people think, well, I'm going to live as I please for now, and when I get older, I'll get serious about living for God. I'll trust God with my life later on. As we grow older as people, we begin to think we can handle life ourselves. And again, it'll be the next big thing that comes along. Then I will begin to trust God. In our text this morning, we read the life of a man who trusted God tomorrow. His plan was to trust God. His life was to be a life of service to God, but always seemed like it would be tomorrow. His name is Samson. As we look at Samson's life, as we will this morning in the book of Judges, chapter 13 to 16, we'll realize that his life was a life that didn't really look like faith. Especially in chapter 13 and 14, we look at and we say, why is Samson mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as being one who lived by faith? Well, unfortunately, he waited until the very end of his life to really practice his faith. Many wasted opportunities are seen in Samson's life. His life could have been so different had he lived it by faith every day. Had he lived it by faith from the beginning, life would have been so different, so much better. And in our lives too, if we wait to exercise our faith, we will miss out on many opportunities. See, God has given us the life of Samson to learn, among other things, don't wait to exercise your faith. Let's pray together as we begin the message. Lord, thank you again that we can be here, and thank you for the Bible that gives us these great stories of men and women who lived in days gone by. Lord, they were just flesh and blood, and we recognize and realize their failings, their failures, and their strengths. And Lord, how you used them despite those things, as they trusted you by faith. And so we see ourselves in their lives, and your word tells us that you've given us their lives as examples to us upon whom the ends of the world are come, Lord, so that we can learn from their lives. May we learn from their lives and from the scripture rather than having to learn as they did by the school of hard knocks, as the saying goes. And Lord, I pray that even this morning, as we consider the life of Samson, that you'd help us to recognize that we need to begin and to live daily by faith. Not to put it off until the end, but to walk in our lives by faith today. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to us. You know our hearts, Lord. You know if there's anyone here who's never taken that first step of faith and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning, maybe they've been thinking they would do it later. May today be the day. And for us as Christians, again, may we realize the need of expressing our faith in you today and each day as we live our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn back to Judges chapter 13 then to, I heard some of your pages rustling already, you're a step ahead of me, but Judges chapter number 13, and we'll begin to look at the life of Samson. We won't look at every verse and every chapter that we refer to this morning for sake of time, but the story is recorded here, and we'll look at some highlights of his life and see some things as we pertains to the message, particularly this morning. I'd like us to see at the beginning that Samson's life was filled with promise. Samson's life began with a promising future. You know, he wasn't born to affluent, famous parents, but he was born to parents who God had given him to, and God had a plan for his life. We recognize in chapter 13 that this was a special birth. In verse 2, it says, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Samson's life was begun with a promise to his parents that he would be born. Now, not everyone's birth is announced by an angel, but Samson's was. There are a few in Scripture that are, and Samson is one of them. His mother was previously unable to have children, but God sent this angel to tell her that he would have a son. He wouldn't be an ordinary son. He would have a special vow upon his life from the time that he was born, right through even before his birth. It says in verse number 5, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb till the day of his death. And then look down with me to verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. He was to be a Nazarite. Now you say, what is a Nazarite? Jesus was not a Nazarite. Jesus was a Nazarene. It said that he shall be called a Nazarene. There's a difference between the two. A Nazarite was a a privileged role, we might say. It came with special restrictions. In Numbers chapter 6 is the vow of the Nazarite. As it says here in our text, they weren't allowed to have the haircut for the whole time of the vow. Now, not all vows were for a lifetime, as we see in Numbers chapter 6. If you want to look there later on and read about it, some were just for a period of time. But Samson was to be a Nazarite from the time of his birth right through to the time of his death, as we have just read. Some of the restrictions, again, not allowed to have hair, but also they weren't allowed to touch dead bodies. They weren't allowed to drink, as it says there, the fruit of the vine, nor strong drink. There were some special restrictions placed upon their life. That was Samson's vow from birth to death. Why? Because God had a special plan for him. It says in verse number 5 that the angel said to his mother that he would deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines were constant enemies of Israel, and God gave Samson to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. A great job, an amazing job that he had ahead of him. Great promise, wasn't it? A life of great promise began by an angel announcing to a woman who previously couldn't have a child, you're going to have a child that's going to be a special child, then he's going to begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. What great promise. How excited they must have been. how thrilled they must have been to think about what the potential was for their son. And as we look at the end of chapter 13, we see there is a hopeful beginning in Samson's life. It says, "And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." We say, wow, great promise. And right at the beginning, the Spirit of God's upon him. And some great things are starting to take place. There was great promise in those early years. God used him and God blessed him. How wonderful it must have been to see Samson in his early years as he began to realize what God was going to do through him. Isn't it exciting to see young people serving God? Tonight, our youth service is an exciting time. It's to see young people who have a heart to serve God. That's an exciting thing. It's a thrilling thing for us as parents of our own children and as Christians to see young people giving their lives to serve God. It's an exciting thing. Samson's life began with that thrill, that excitement. We see that he began to fulfill his purpose in chapters 14 and 15. Again, we're not going to read the entirety of these chapters or we'd be here for much longer than a cupcake would satisfy you till you have your lunch this morning. But Samson was to deliver Israel from the Philistines and he began to do it. Though not as God really would plan it for it to be taking place. But he began to deliver Israel from the Philistines. We know that Samson is famous for two things, his long hair and his great strength. And the two, of course, were tied together. Everyone who's heard of Samson has heard of Samson's great strength from God. And it says in chapter 14, and verse number 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, nor he told his father and mother what he had done." Samson had great strength, and he tore that lion up. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be looking to tear up a lion with my bare hands. I'd be looking to run away from the lion. But Samson tore up this lion as if it was nothing. Why? Because he had this great strength. And God had prepared Samson to deliver Israel and had gifted him accordingly. Isn't that what God does in our lives? He gifts us for what he wants us to do with our life. Not everyone has the same talents or abilities, but we have the gifts and abilities that we need to accomplish what God desires us to do with our life. And so it was that God gave Samson this great strength to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Though it was God-given, his strength wasn't necessarily because he was walking with God, because sadly he wasn't. God gave him strength, but he didn't use his strength for God. And how many people have talents and abilities that really should be used for God, but instead they use it for fame or for fortune or for their own selfish means. But God began to use Samson despite his weaknesses, because that's what God had planned for his life, was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And we find that there were occasions against the Philistines. We see his marriage to a Philistine in chapter number 14 of Judges. And again, we're not going to take the time to read the chapter to look at the whole thing. He shouldn't have been involved in it with a Philistine. God had told the Israelites that they were to marry Israelites. They weren't to marry the other nations of the nations surrounding them. But here we see that he married a Philistine. Or he was planning to and wanted to do that. But God used that as an occasion against the Philistines. The marriage didn't happen like it was supposed to happen. And Samson got angry and God used it to turn him against the Philistines, to do some things to do against them. In chapter 15, we find that Samson burned the fields of the Philistines. He took 300 foxes, tied their tails together, set them on fire, and set them loose throughout all the fields of the Philistines. Say, how could he catch 300 foxes? I don't know. You see a fox, we saw one a few months ago just walking down the street here, just up the road from the church. And you know, I don't think it would like to be caught. But Samson caught 300 of them. And God used that to destroy the crops of the Philistines that were ready for harvest. And then he slew a great number of Philistines. See, God was using Samson despite Samson's lack of faith. Samson slew 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass, it tells us in Judges chapter 15, verses 9 to 16. The Philistines came to get him because they were angry for what he'd done, and he picked up the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 people. See, wow, what amazing things that Samson was doing with his life. God was giving him strength. He freed himself from ropes, and the Bible says that the ropes were just like fresh vines and just popped off his arms. It reminds me of a long time ago when I was a lot younger, and the TV show The Incredible Hulk was on, and when he turned green, all of a sudden his clothes just began to rip and pop apart. I don't advocate the show. I don't remember much about it other than that we, when he turned into The Incredible Hulk. You can't help but think about some of those things when you read this. But I mean, those ropes, they just broke because God gave him this great strength. And he used this jawbone, which was handy, and God helped him to defeat 1,000 men. But later into chapter 15 and into chapter 16, we find that Samson finally found faith. And really, it's why he's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Because later on in his life, it came to the place where Samson realizes his purpose for his life. Yes, he was delivering Israel. Yes, God was using the things in the circumstances there to cause Samson to be angry with the Philistines. And yes, that gave relief to the Philistines from the Israelites from the oppression of the Philistines. He chose his own way, and though he was used of God, things could have been so much better, couldn't they? There could have been so much more success, longer term success, I have no doubt, in his life, if Samson had been choosing to live and walk with God and walk by faith at that time. But like many of us, Samson had to find out the hard way that the only real way to have a successful life is to fear God and to serve God and to trust God with his life. God's way is the best. Why is it that we often choose to learn the hard way rather than just taking the examples of people like Samson and saying, I can learn from that. I don't have to go that way. But so many times with our life, we end up being like Samson, and we learn the hard way. Sad, isn't it, to think that many will find out that their own way was not the right way when it's too late. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And how many people, rather than trusting God and taking God at His word, are saying, I can get my own way to heaven. I can do my own thing for eternity's sake, and I can get myself into heaven. Instead of taking the Bible and seeing the Bible says that it's a gift by faith to be received by faith. And many will find out too late. Don't be in that number. Don't be in that number that find out too late. In Judges 15, look at verse number 17. Samson's just destroyed 1,000 with the jawbone of the ass there, it says in verse 16. In verse 17 it says, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance unto the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Samson needed water. After destroying some of these Philistines, he was very thirsty. He'd done some amazing things, but all of a sudden he says, I'm going to die. I don't have a drink. I'm going to die of thirst. Perhaps this is the first glimpse of Samson calling on the Lord, because this is the first time it says that he called on the Lord. He's done a lot of things in his life, but what have they been? They've been with the strength, the ability that God gave him, but it seems like he just took it all for granted. He wasn't trusting God. But now he realizes his need. He trusts God. He calls on God to give him water. a glimpse of what Samson should have been from the beginning. He realizes dependence on God because the name of that well, he says, it's the well of him that called upon the name of the Lord. He realized that he needed God. I need God. He realized his dependence on the Lord. Isn't it a funny thing how it's the needs of life that often cause us to realize that life is bigger than we are and we need God after all? We go along and we think we can make it along, and all of a sudden we have a need in our life and we say, now what am I going to do? God, help me. And we call on God at that time. We need God. We think we can do it on our own, and all the while God is trying to speak to our hearts and we ignore Him, but then a need comes and we can't reach it and we can't deal with it. And we say, Lord, I need You. Help. Where are You? And God said, I've been here all along. I've been waiting for You to call upon Me. I've been waiting for You to trust Me. And isn't it just like God to do what He did for Samson there and give him water? He didn't deserve it. He'd been living his own life, going his own way. But at that moment when Samson called out to God, God heard his cry and gave him water. But he hadn't learned all the lesson yet. Because chapter 16 records for us that Samson still was bent on his sin and going his own way. When his thirst was satisfied, he forgot God. It was to take Samson much more before he realized the difference that God could make in his life. In the first four verses, we see Samson's moral decline continuing. It says, he went down to an harlot unto Gaza. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they encompassed him in and laid wait for him all night and in the gate of the city. And when they were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. What strength. Imagine taking a gate, the posts that were on it, and just saying, I'm out of here. They thought they had him locked in. Not so. We find, of course, that he went down to Delilah, the famous story of Delilah, that love for Delilah. Delilah deceived him, of course, capitalized on his weakness. Verse 4, it says, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. We'll make you rich if you hand this guy over to us. If you find out a secret, we'll make you rich. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me now, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto them, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto Samson, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Wow, look who's talking, huh? She's selling him out for money. And she says, how can you tell me you love me and lie to me? Well, who was the big deceiver? People right in the bedroom ready to grab him if it had worked. so she could collect her big sum of money. Tell me, thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then shall my strength be go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Delilah deceived him. He was deceived by this woman who claimed to love him. She asked his secret. Finally, he gave in. Pressed and vexed daily. The continual dripping on a very rainy day, Proverbs says, right? She was contentiously saying, come on, Samson, tell me. Tell me, I need to know. Tell me, I want to know. Tell me, you got to tell me where your strength is. And finally, he said, okay, here it is. And what did she do? She used it against him and turned him over to the Philistines, collected her payout. And Samson was defeated. Samson presumed he wasn't, though. Everything else, nothing else. He'd played loose with God for his whole life. And nothing had happened. And so when he had his head shaven, he said, I will go out as before. But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. What sad words those are, that he just presumed upon God. He presumed upon the mercy of God. He presumed that nothing had changed in his life. He wasn't walking with God, and he presumed the power of God would still be his, but it was gone. It was gone. And Samson was defeated and became essentially like an animal. Plowing just going round and round in circles, grinding out the grain. I mean, he was still a strong man. He just didn't have supernatural strength anymore. Blind, working like an animal. What a sad thing, isn't it, when we think about the promise that was his? He's going to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He was a promised child to his parents who hadn't had a child. And what great promises. The Spirit of God began to move upon him as he was a young person. And yet he threw away his life. He wasted his life, went his own way and did his own thing. And he ends up in great defeat at the bottom. Can you get much lower than what Samson was in verse 21, blinded and working like an animal, bound with fetters of brass, grinding grain in the prison house? There's not much lower that can be gone to that, physically speaking. Morally, he'd already hit the bottom by the way he was living his life, and now here he is at the bottom. Why is it that so many times in life we have to hit the bottom before we realize we need God? Oh, we've seen glimpses of where we need God in our life. We call upon Him and He comes along and He helps us, and then we carry on our own way again. And it takes till we get to the bottom of the pile, and then finally we say, God, help me, I need You. That was Samson. But did you notice the verses that we read in verse 22? The glimmer of hope that began to shine. Howbeit, the hairs of his head began to grow. There was a glimmer of hope from the despair that he was in. Hope that his strength would return. Hope that perhaps again he could deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Isn't it great to know and to have experienced perhaps sometimes in your life that even at the bottom, God gives you hope? Saul said, the chiefest of sinners I am, but God loves me. There's hope for all who will turn again to the Lord. Many have gotten to the bottom of their life and looked up and found God was there to lift them up. But you know, the good news is you don't have to get to the bottom to find God. He's waiting for you where you are. He doesn't want you to get to the bottom. He wants you to trust Him today. You know the story in verses 23 to 25. The lords of the Philistines had a great feast and they said, "Hey, bring out Samson. We want to make good fun of him. He's the guy that caused us so much grief over these years. He was so strong, he took gates away. Now look at him. We've got him grinding grain for us in the prison. Bring him out. We want to make fun of him." And they brought him out and made sport of him. Isn't it just like the devil and the world to kick us while you're down? The world makes light of the defeat of God's people and uses it to mock God. And that's exactly what they were doing here with Samson. But in the bottom of the barrel, being made fun of, feeling like he was at the end of himself, it says in verse 26, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and of one on his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol on the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. A humbled Samson finally found his faith. What he was called to do from the beginning was finally found at the end. When humbled so, Samson called on God by faith. He'd spent his whole life trusting in himself and the ability that God gave him. And now he says, "God, I need you. I need you like I've never needed you before." This is just the second mention of Samson calling on the Lord throughout his whole life. 20 years he judged Israel, and this is only the second time it's mentioned that he called upon the Lord. It took complete humiliation, blindness, and being treated like an animal to bring Samson to a place where he realized he needed God. He needed God. Our lack of faith is because we think we're strong enough. We depend on ourselves, and we think we can do it ourselves. And pride keeps most of us from trusting God. It keeps many people from salvation. I'm good enough. I'm not that bad. I can do it my own way. And it keeps many believers from serving God because they say, I've got my way. I've got my plans. I'll do things my way. And so pride is a great hindrance to faith. And Samson's life, his greatest accomplishment of faith was the last thing he did in his life. It says that they whom he slew in his death were more than he slew in his life. By faith in his death, he defeated more Philistines than he ever had done in his carnal life. When he trusted God, he accomplished more than he had the rest of his life. But now his life was over. There was no time to celebrate the victory that God had given. Can you imagine how much more Samson could have done with his life if he'd only given God his life at the beginning? If he'd had faith in God throughout his life instead of waiting till the end? Can you imagine? I don't think that verse 30 would have been saying that he did more at the end of his life than he'd done throughout the rest of his whole life. I think he would have accomplished more during his life than he did at the end if he'd only lived his life by faith. He would have been such a greater deliverer of Israel if only he'd lived every day by faith. He probably would have judged Israel for longer than 20 years and kept them free from the bondage of the Philistines for longer than 20 years if only he lived his life by faith. But he waited until the end, until everything else was done. Will we learn ourselves today from Samson's life that the time for faith is now? It's not tomorrow, it's today. The time to trust God for salvation is today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The time to trust God with our lives as Christians is today. Today is the day to serve God. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's time today. If we put it off, we may miss the opportunity to serve God. If a person puts off their salvation, they're not guaranteed tomorrow and it may be too late. Don't wait till the end of your life to accomplish your greatest exploits of faith. If only we would realize the strength and the victory that comes through living a life of faith. Do you remember that God is looking for people to trust Him by faith? In 2 Chronicles 16:9, I just read it this morning in my devotions, it says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. Matthew 17:20 says that we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a tiny little seed will be able to move mountains. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if all things are possible unto him that believeth. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And John says, faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So then why do we think we can live our life in the power of the flesh when there's so much promise of a life of faith? Don't wait until later to trust God, because none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Don't wait till you're at the bottom, because God's saying, look to me now. Many who plan to trust God for salvation tomorrow are in hell today. They said, I'll do it, but tomorrow. They waited too long. Don't be in that number. Many believers who said, I'll trust God and I'll do great things for God tomorrow, get to the end of their life and say, why didn't I do it then? Instead of waiting, because now it's too late. The opportunities are gone. Delayed faith results in a life of regrets. And I'm sure Samson's life was full of them. And so, I would say to you this morning, don't wait to exercise your faith. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time and opportunity to study the Bible together, to look at a sad life, a life of one who waited until essentially it was too late. Yes, he did accomplish in his life some great things, but how much more could have been done? Lord, I pray we'd learn from this lesson of Samson's life today, that we wouldn't have to learn it the hard way, but we'd learn it from his life. We learn it the way you desire us to learn it, from what you've written in the Bible. If there be anyone here this morning, Lord, who's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day where they would receive by faith the greatest gift that's ever been given. That they wouldn't presume that tomorrow would be theirs to do it, but that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, for us as Christians, I pray that those things that we need to accomplish in our life, that we wouldn't put them off till tomorrow. They're going to take faith. But Lord, may we not be saying, I'll trust God for that tomorrow. But may we say, give us this day our daily bread, May we trust you with our day today and give you our life to serve you today. Lord, we're thankful that Samson's life is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, that he did express faith. Our only regret for him is that he did it at the end of his life. And so help us to learn from that, not to wait, but to exercise our faith. Speak to our hearts, I pray now in Jesus' name.